From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. And on this show, we work with the premise that we all know that the truth will set you free. The question is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? As a psychotherapist, I deal with this phrase, tell the truth faster, with all my clients. And I do most of my work, well, not most of my work, but the way I focus on my work as a therapist is in a very holistic way, which means a balance between body, mind, and spirit. And the importance of finding balance in any of our lives means that our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, our sense of joy, our sense of connection, our sense of intimacy and relationships, all are enhanced when we become more and more conscious of what our blocks are to living fully and living with passion, and when we are in that space of balance, how much better quality of life and relationships we have. So every week we deal with issues relating to mental health, and I've always dealt with a wide range of issues, and I'm focusing for the next couple of weeks on the fact that June is Gay Pride Month. And so my guests and my topics tonight will be dealing with issues relevant specifically to the GLBT community. And for those who are not aware of that, those letters, that means gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. How our culture and society is welcoming or not welcoming people who are expressing themselves and identify as GLBT, and how it affects their lives, how our society as a whole is impacted or impacts individuals like myself, who's a gay man. And tonight's topic is called Out of the Closet in Middle School. Now, all of us know that if we look at media, if we movies, video games, TV, there's a sexualizing that goes on so much younger and younger, and that because of the mass media, kids and teenagers at a much early age are much more conscious about sexual behaviors, sexuality, especially with all the conflict about HIV and AIDS and pregnancy issues, STDs, that there is so much more education going on about sexual behaviors, and of course the conflict about whose responsibility is it to educate kids and teenagers? Is it the schools? Is it the parents? Is it the churches, synagogues, or mosques? And so what we're finding is that kids are just more, they're maturing faster, they're just more aware of their sexuality as their bodies are changing. They already have words. I remember as an elementary school kid, I knew there was something different about me. I knew that there was an energy that had me attracted to the boys more than the girls for certain reasons and stuff. I didn't have a word. I didn't have a name for it back then. I didn't understand what homosexuality meant or what gay was. And these weren't necessarily even words that were commonly used. And yet today, gay, homosexual, queer, fag, you know, all of these words help people identify and also help people attack others. And, you know, I have a 16-year-old nephew, and, you know, calling someone gay or fag or using the word, oh, that's so gay, or, you know, is part of the slang, but it's really important, I have found, to educate him, as well as so many others, that, you know, these words mean a lot more to certain people and have an impact on these kids. So a few facts and issues that I got off of the website for PFLAG, which is Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and some statistics that say, in a study of students in public high schools, 97% report regularly hearing homophobic remarks from their peers. The typical high school student hears anti-gay slurs 25.1 times a day. And in a 14-city study of gay, lesbian, and bisexual youth, 80% reported verbal abuse, 44% reported threats of attack, or reported having objects thrown at them, and 30% reported being chased or followed. The incidence of one of the biggest problems also has to do with the emotional impact this has and the sense of isolation. And studies on youth suicide consistently find that lesbian and gay youth are 2 to 6 times more likely to attempt suicide than other youth, and may account for 30% of all completed suicides among teens. 30%. Service providers estimate that gay, lesbian, and bisexual youth make up 20 to 40% of homeless youth in urban areas. Of course, the urban areas is where many of them go because, you know, there's such a sense of isolation in rural America, and it's an easier place to get lost or to find oneself. And that's why cities like Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, and some smaller cities throughout the country seem to attract so many runaways. And I actually did a show about a year ago, if you want to go to the archives on tellthetruthfaster.com, called Teens on the Streets, and I actually interviewed a 24-year-old guy named Gabriel who, as a teenager, was a runaway on the street, a gay teen on the street, and it's a very poignant show, and I really recommend that you go listen to it. Now, before I introduce my guest tonight, I want to remind all of you that this is a live call-in show, and some of you are listening in Phoenix or in the surrounding Phoenix areas on the radio itself, and the local Phoenix number is 480-874-1311. 480-874-1311. The toll-free number, if you're listening to us over the Internet, is 1-888-437-7660. 888-437-7660. My guest tonight is a woman named Mary McGonigal Martin, who is a middle school counselor from Murrieta, California. Now, Mary got in touch with me because I'm actually co-president of the Lesbian and Gay Psychotherapists Association of Southern California. And she had the experience. She's recently been faced with offering support to a 13-year-old student, a girl, and that girl's family, when the girl came out to her as a lesbian. Now, this is middle school. This is a 13-year-old girl. This is something we're finding more and more. Now, Mary, as a heterosexual who's dealing with a conservative and prejudiced school and community, she's out in, like, the Riverside area of California, the one thing that impressed me about Mary is how compassionate and conscious and dedicated she really maintained her posture in dealing with this 13-year-old and her family. And her ability to do that helped make this experience for the student so much more positive, safer, and affirming. So, Mary, I want to welcome you to Tell the Truth Faster, and I really want to honor you for the way you've handled the student and how you've been such a light for so many in that school, I believe. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Stuart. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Did I leave anything out that you wanted them to know about you before we go any further?
No, you covered everything. Okay. I've just been working at this particular school. This is the end of my ninth year.
Mm-hmm.
So It's been almost a decade out here.
Okay. Do you want to say what school it is?
Thompson Middle School in Murrieta.
Okay. Thank you. Before we get into what went on in the school, and I believe the girl's name is Jamie, not a lot of high school or middle school counselors would have handled the situation half as well as my feeling as you have. And that speaks to your own upbringing. And here you are in a very conservative area of California, as I said. And what made you different? She was very fortunate to actually find her way to you. But what contributed to your ability to be as conscious as you've been in the midst of so much prejudice and conservatism?
Well, I grew up in a family where one of my uncles was gay, and I didn't have a father in the home, and so he was the closest male role model for me and closest male emotional relationship I had growing up. And so I had the opportunity when in my late teens to go live with him for a while, and he exposed me to his lifestyle and his world, and I just learned a lot from all of his friends. Very much compassion for their struggle. This was in the late 1970s, prior to AIDS, but a lot of his friends, in fact, I would say most of them, had been abandoned by their families
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that they came out and said that they were homosexual. So it was a very harsh time in the 70s. And then I have a few very close friends that are lesbians
mm-hmm.
and recently have had a lot of discussion, especially with one friend, how hard it was for her to come out and just the shame that she feels for being a lesbian. And that was very foreign to me because I loved my uncle and his friends so much, I never thought somebody would be ashamed of being a homosexual. So when Jamie came out to me at school, it just kind of, all of these things had been interwoven in my life, so I'm a positive person to share this with.
Great. Now, before we get into the specifics of Jamie's situation and the steps that you took in terms of being a support to her and her family, can you talk a little bit about what you know about what teens are experiencing in general in the schools? And before you even get to answer that question, we're going to take a short break here. So I'll give you time to think about it.
Okay.
And this is Stuart Altschuler. You're listening to Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM. And stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
That I heard of once in a life.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler, and tonight's topic is Out of the Closet in Middle School, dealing with teens who are dealing with their gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered feelings and sense of identity at a much earlier and earlier age. And my guest tonight is Mary McGonigal Martin, who is a school counselor at Thompson Middle School in Murrieta, California. Mary, before the break, I asked a question about what's going on in general from your knowledge, not necessarily just from your own experience in your school, but please speak from that. But in your knowledge, what are particularly middle school and high school kids dealing with today and who have these feelings locked inside and that maybe they're not so locked away?
Well, I can only speak of working in middle school, and because I haven't been at the high school, friends of mine, obviously, that work there, I know that we have kids that come out in high school, probably, 10th grade year, 11th grade year, it would be common knowledge for some kids. But it's different at that level than middle school because kids do become a little bit more mature in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the size our particular high school has 4,000 kids, so the size of the high school in some ways makes that a little bit safer. Middle school, because the kids are in puberty, the maturity level is so varied. Some kids are extremely mature, let's say in eighth grade, and then other kids don't appear to have hit puberty yet. So you have such a vast difference in the kids in that way. And just in general, I've seen a change in the meanness of kids. I've been doing this for almost a decade now. I think some of that is because we're a growth community and nobody has attachments to anybody. So if you move to a new school in middle school during this time, everybody's trying to find their spot and their niche. And as a result of that, kids just seem, the meaner you are to kids, then you're going to find a spot. So I think for anybody that would be gay and lesbian in middle school, it's extremely difficult because you hear, you know, the statistics that you said at the beginning of the show, you know, to say lesbian, dyke, fag, gay, this is just a part of the way kids talk. And it would be very, very difficult to be listening to that all day.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jamie is very unique in that she came out at a young age. She came out at the end of seventh grade to her family, and they're accepting of her homosexuality. I don't think most kids have this kind of support or courage to do this.
Well, that's for sure.
I think it's something that you're typically going to see in high school. And as I write out my career as a guidance counselor in middle school, I'm not sure how much more of this I would see. I think it's very, very unique, especially because of the conservative area we live in. We lived in somewhere like Los Angeles where Project 10 is promoted and other things, and then kids in middle school might choose to come out or come and talk to somebody about it because they're hearing about it in class, or it's part of the climate that you can go somewhere and talk to somebody, but not out where I am.
Right. I want to, since you mentioned Project 10, I want the people who are listening to know that Project 10 was actually started in the Los Angeles school system by Virginia Uribe many years ago, actually, to provide a safe educational environment for kids who are identifying or have been forced to identify, maybe because, you know, the boys may be a bit effeminate and been teased, or the girls, you know, a bit masculine and been teased, or those that may not be that obvious but have chosen over the years to identify. So it's kind of like a high school for GLBT students, so that it's a safer place for them to function and interact. So go back to what you were saying.
Okay.
I didn't want to leave that hanging.
With because of our area is so conservative, I just don't think that kids would sense that it's safe to do, it's safe to talk to anybody about, let alone want anybody to know that these were feelings that they would be having. One of the things that I was so impressed with Jamie, and she taught me a lot, was the access on the Internet. I think if you are a gay or lesbian teenager, wow, you have an entire support network there online.
Mm-hmm.
You can meet people. You know, one website links you to another website, and you can gain a lot of information about the feelings you're having, what's normal, what it is to be gay or lesbian. And I learned so much because Jamie's the one that started telling me about PFLAG and about GLSEN and things she had found. And some days in my office, we would go online, and she'd show me the different websites.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that that's fabulous for this generation, because in coming out, they do have support, even if they don't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. So that there are even, you know, teens in rural areas where they may not have access, where they could actually realize that there are chat rooms and other places where kids their own age are dealing with this.
Correct.
A lot of adults and a lot of educators and clergy might say, well, you know, some of these websites are traps and enticing these kids and doing all this other recruiting or sites where, you know, predators are after
Right.
these kids. So it's important that the parents and schools and people like yourself know what the legitimate
Correct.
Sites are that really are offering that kind of support.
And there's some great links when you go, like, to PFLAG that have for teen links
mm-hmm.
that then would be probably very safe to go to. A lot of social activities and get-togethers in the larger cities.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I discovered that I was very, very surprised about, because I received my degree in 1993. There was no talk in my program about gay and lesbian teenagers as mm-hmm. an at-risk group.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, everything else of the social problems or family problems that could put a child at risk for not only failing school but other emotional issues, gay and lesbian teenagers aren't talked about at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I have my knowledge base and my sensitivity and understanding from my personal life, not from anything that I learned professionally. UCR, University of Riverside, is about 30 miles from us. And they have a whole support center for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender youth. They have a resource center, and they actually have an outreach group that goes into middle schools and high schools, which when I went on their website and read about it, I was very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And they just started a minor in gay and lesbian studies at their university. So there's a lot out there, but unless you know about it, it's not talked about.
But it's so contradictory to what we normally have thought of your area as a conservative or conservative Christian type of
right.
arena. And here you have this university
right.
that is really doing outreach to kind of bring some sanity for these teens in the midst of all their fear and terror.
Right. And they had social activities, monthly social activities, and the kids are broken up by age groups. So the middle school kids could come and their social activities. So gay and lesbian teens can meet other gay and lesbian teens that are out and with their families, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a really positive arena to meet others and not feel so lonely.
Mm-hmm. Now, earlier you had said how, you know, so many of these services are available in the bigger cities and stuff, and yet a lot of the larger cities, these kids may think, oh, I'll go to L.A., I'll go to New York, I'll go to San Francisco, and I'll have more of my own kind around there. And rather than hooking into these services, many of them find themselves on the streets and, you know, homeless and
right.
prostituting and all this other stuff. You know, so I want to be real clear that running away thinking that, you know, the like my theme song, Over the Rainbow, that the pot of gold is going to be somewhere in these major cities, it's still a challenge, and it's important, you know, that you find the support at your home base if you can, and then use these websites to reach out before just picking up and leaving home. So we're going to take another quick break here. This is Stuart Altschul at KXAM, and Tell the Truth Faster, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschul. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And tonight's topic is Out of the Closet Middle School. And my guest tonight is the middle school counselor, Mary McGonigal Martin, from Thompson Middle School in Murrieta, California. I can't say it. And if you feel like calling in and if you have a question, you have a comment, in the Phoenix area, the phone number is 480-874-1311, 874-1311. And if you're listening over the internet anywhere else in the country, the toll-free number is 888-437-7660. Mary, let's get to, a little bit more specific about what you've seen as Jamie's journey and your journey with her. I know you've talked a lot about it already, but how long ago was it that she actually came to you?
Somewhere after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm. Meaning around January?
Somewhere in January, early February,
mm-hmm.
I'd say. And she was had told a few friends at school that she was a lesbian, and then of course that kind of information flies fast,
mm-hmm.
and so she was struggling with kids, you know, calling her lesbian and dyke and just coming straight up to her and asking her, and it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. So she found herself, actually a teacher brought her to my office, and we just started talking, and she was saying how kids were calling her a lesbian because she wore rainbow shoelaces and things, which I didn't know at the time that what the rainbow stood for.
Okay.
So she's teaching me as we're going along.
Uh-huh.
And then she shared some information, and then it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that her family knew, and she was very excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
She was very. That's the thing that I felt so happy for her at that point, that she had pride about this. That this was normal.
Mm-hmm.
That I like girls, and tell me the girls she thinks are cute, and it was just very, very happy of the feeling she was having.
Mm-hmm.
But then as
and my guess is also that somebody was actually listening to her, taking her seriously, and not judging her and condemning her.
Right.
Made that joy a little bit more.
Right, that she could be real and honest with,
mm-hmm.
with how she was feeling, because for some of the kids out at school, obviously, she wasn't getting that feedback. But I was very happy for her that she has friends that are okay with this,
mm-hmm.
and that are heterosexual.
Right.
And so this is a generation where so much is more out in the open. I know one of her friends, that's okay because my grandfather's gay.
Mm-hmm.
So as she takes risks in sharing this information with people, she's going to find other people that don't have any issues with homosexuals and is going to have real friendships,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really nice for her because she wants to be who she is.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to hide and not let people know she's a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this young age, it's been very hard because she has happy days and she has sad days about that.
As anybody does about anything.
Right.
Only it's just amazing that her consciousness is that some of the days her happiness is connected to this coming out process, and in some
right.
of the days her sadness is connected to it.
So she struggles. She kind of goes back and forth with mm-hmm. being happy about coming out and then at times wondering if maybe she should never have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a natural process that I would imagine that anybody who's gay and lesbian goes through it in their life.
Well, any of us that have gone through that would be able to tell her that to have had the courage to do it at age 13 as opposed to like myself waiting till I was 21 and others. I mean, there was a guy that I was counseling a few months ago who's 72 and only came out when he was 65 after being married for 50-some-odd years and
right.
raising a daughter. You know, so
not being able to be who he really was.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
I mean, he doesn't regret having been married and having the child, but, you know, there's a part of him that was always being held back, and it was hard.
Right. So for Jamie, I'm just in awe of her courage and her that spirit inside of her that's determined to be who she is.
And she has a twin sister, too.
Yes.
Are they identical or fraternal?
They're identical.
And how is her twin sister dealing with this?
I don't have the conversations with her to know those details, but from just what Jamie says, she's very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, her twin has helped her come out to her parents.
Mm-hmm.
So she shared that information with her twin first.
Great. Because I would think for an identical twin, you know, there's a possibility of this really hitting home, like, come on, we're supposed to be identical. What does this mean about me?
Right.
You know. So so her twin actually has been supportive in part of her cheering section,
yes.
From what you told me.
Definitely.
Great.
Definitely.
And her mom and dad?
Are supportive, too.
Mm-hmm.
It just fearful, and the same for that feelings that I've had for Jamie is this is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting her to feel the pain of people's hate. And so that we want to protect her and say, okay, it's okay that you're a lesbian. You don't have to go tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that we protect her, especially in middle school and high school, because it's like magnified. The statements that people are going to say to her face are magnified 1,000 times compared to when you're an adult. Somebody might think something about you being a homosexual, but most people aren't going to say something to your face about it. Maybe behind your back.
Right.
But in middle school, and I'm assuming probably high school too, people just come up and say something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Derogatory, and that's hard. That would be hard for anybody to endure over any period of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, totally. I mean, you know, in the 60s when I was in elementary school, you know, what we were called was sissies, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, teased for a lot of it without having a word for it, but today they have words for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're very brutal about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Jamie's mom and myself, when we had a conversation with her about it, wanting her to just stay in the closet to people at school because it's going to be too hard on her. But Jamie, like anybody else in life, we have to learn from our own choices and our own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her looking back on this, she's going to realize how strong she is.
Yeah.
And how brave. And there's a pride inside of her that she will take through her life knowing that she made this decision for herself at a young age.
There's something else she may not be getting yet, but I have a feeling you may have said this to her, is the mentoring she's doing for other kids who may not come out for years from now.
Right.
But they're going to remember this brave 13-year-old or 14-year-old or how she's going through school,
mm-hmm.
who really had an impact as they watched her go on her journey and see the support they got, that along the lines that there are other kids, you know, like many of us were back then, who were afraid to even utter a possibility. You know, and that's everything from the football jocks to the you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, they're on the sports teams, they're in chorus and band and they're the nerds who are outcasts, the geeks, whatever.
Right.
But what she's doing is mentoring.
She is. She is being a role model for mm-hmm. others. Well, I know one time we discussed the 10% figure,
mm-hmm.
and we this year had 660 plus eighth graders.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, Jamie, there's 60 others in your class
mm-hmm.
that just, you know, aren't coming out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for her, one of the things she anticipates about going to high school because more kids will be out is she wants to meet other gay and lesbian kids to have those friendships and the commonality. She wants other girls to talk to about liking girls and
mm-hmm.
not have to sit and listen to all her girlfriends talk about boys all the time, to have that common connection.
You know, people who are going to criticize this are going to say, hey, we're encouraging her to go out and find girls to have sex with and things like that. Well, the reality of it is that heterosexual girls have other heterosexual girls to sit and talk about what boys they're attracted to and who they have crushes on. And heterosexual guys have the same thing to say, hey, she's hot, or, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no different in terms of a need to have that sense of community and camaraderie and sense of support. To be able to do the same thing.
Well, in just having crushes
mm-hmm.
on not necessarily wanting to experience the sexual aspect of
mm-hmm.
it, because many kids, thank goodness, still feel that they're way too young for that and are not interested, but just the emotional aspect of having your first crush and to be able to share all that and to have somebody else share that back.
Mm-hmm.
My
understanding is with all the AIDS education and everything else that's gone on, that statistics show that teenagers are actually waiting longer for their first sexual experience than they were 10 years ago. I can't actually quote them, but I've been reading this more and more
mm-hmm.
in a lot of articles. I want to ask you also, what have you as a counselor who's been very out in the school about supporting Jamie, what have you had to deal with in terms of other teachers and maybe other parents? Have you been the recipient of some of this prejudice?
No, not yet. I haven't experienced that, but I've been very selective because I've had hunches about the other adults at school. Because it's not a conversation, you know, this is just brought up so much. It's not a conversation that you go around when you're heterosexual and talking to another person and go, oh, so what do you think about homosexuality? It's just not something that comes up in daily conversations, especially in the schools. Day in and day out. So I had hunches about people who I felt were probably liberal-minded and very accepting of homosexuality and not having an issue with that. So to branch out to teach Jamie that there are safe people and we live in a homophobic world, how can you, as a young homosexual, know who would be safe and who wouldn't. How do you figure that out? And so we had talks about that, and I found a few other teachers and another counselor and a nurse to show her I am not the only person at school that is accepting of homosexuality. There's lots of us, but then there are teachers that are more conservative in their religious beliefs that would think that this is a negative and that it's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would not encourage her to have conversations with teachers with those kinds of beliefs because it would hurt her too much.
Okay. We're going to take our last break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Tell the Truth Faster. So please stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. And tonight's topic in celebrating Gay Pride Month is the first of a few shows that I'm doing on GLBT experience. And it's called Out of the Closet Middle School. And my guest tonight's been Mary McGonigal-Martin, who is a school counselor at Thompson Middle School in Murrieta, California. Mary, we're moving into the closing part, the final wave of the show. What haven't I asked you that you feel would be important for people to know about this experience you've been having, or any call to consciousness that you want to put out there, or whatever?
Well, I think especially in middle school, high school teachers, you see it all in high school. The kids, the age range, you have kids having babies, you have kids dropping out of school, you have, and my husband teaches seniors, you have married couples. So high school, you're in the midst of everything with the teenagers and give a lot more thought to things. Middle school, because they're, you know, sixth grade, they come to us, they're still kids. By eighth grade, they have, you know, transformed into young men and young women, and it's just such a huge developmental change that occurs in these 3 years. I never once thought about a kid that would think about coming out in middle school. It just never even crossed my mind entering middle school that this would be something that kids would be wrestling with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I knew obviously that we would have homosexual teenagers, but it's just not anything that ever crossed my mind that I would be addressing in school. So I think, if anything, for people who are listening that work in the schools, whether they're an administrator or a teacher, is to be aware that these kids have needs, that there's lots of these kids. There's fabulous curriculum that can be integrated in with social studies and language arts. To even address that there's this population in existence. I would encourage anybody to go on and look at the information that PFLAG has to offer or GLSEN has. Fabulous stuff. It gives empathy into what it must be like being a homosexual teenager and the isolation and the fear and the derogatory statements. This goes on daily in classrooms, and a lot of teachers ignore it. The kids will come to my office and go, he said this, she said that, and not only just with gay bashing, but with just cuss words in general. And mm-hmm. I'll go, where was the teacher?
Right.
They're right there.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a gentleman come out to our school this year and did a whole segment on bullying and what bullying is and what verbal harassment is versus physical and emotional abuse. And broke this down, and he did a whole segment on gay and lesbian and homophobia and what goes on with the kids at school, and put this within a bullying and violent tone that this occurs, and it's the responsibility of all teachers to address this, to make sure this climate does not happen in a school. So I would just say for teachers, anybody working in schools, just to be more aware. Listen every day what kids are saying to each other. And if you hear fag or gay or, you know, dyke in the classroom, it needs to be addressed, it needs to be talked about, and the kids need to be educated about why that's unacceptable.
Well, it's also, I mean, to me what you're saying is probably one of the most important things that any school system
mm-hmm.
needs to be aware of, which is educating their teachers and counselors to be aware and for them to know and understand what their prejudices and biases are and
right.
what their limits are in terms of reaching out to those kids. And if they really hold fast to their own biases and prejudices and aren't willing to change them,
mm-hmm.
to at least honor a child's struggle enough to say, I'm not the counselor or teacher to help them, but go to this person there.
Right.
Okay? And that person probably will be a better friend or better support system for you than I'm able to be right now. So even if they're holding on to, you know, their, whether it's religious beliefs or their own pains that they just can't be the one, it's so important for a teacher and a counselor to know and understand their own limits and what they can do to help.
Definitely. And if it's not something they're comfortable talking about, more power to them, but still they have a responsibility to help the student and send them to a place where somebody is comfortable.
I mean, there's actually been a number of articles and situations lately, at least three that I can think of, where students who were so bullied and hurt because of homophobia in
mm-hmm.
the school and teachers and the administration did nothing, even with complaints, that the students ended up suing the school systems and the schools and winning.
Definitely.
Because they were not being protected, and it's the school's responsibility to provide a safe environment for all kids.
Right. It falls under sexual harassment, and
mm-hmm.
it's against the law in schools. And we do a segment at our school in the beginning of the year to educate kids about what sexual harassment is. It's something they can be suspended for. But as the school year gets going and kids are in puberty, it really is out of control.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary, I want to, before I mention my closing remarks here, I really want to thank you, first of all, for being on the show and being as open and honest and sensitive as I've known you to be since I've been connected with you, but also for the fact that you've been the angel to show up in a school and in an area, and for Jamie in particular, and have seen even Jamie as a teacher to you and has helped open you, and I really want to acknowledge you for that and thank you for that.
Well, I think we've each touched each other's lives. I don't think I've done anything more special than anybody else would. I sometimes, there's a time and place where people are supposed to meet, and maybe that's what happens here, and I think we've both taught each other something.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for that, and thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
In closing here tonight, folks, in terms of out-of-the-closet issues and gay pride, that from the National Mental Health Association's website, an article called Bullying in Schools Harassment Puts Gay Youth at Risk. Just some things to think about. Gay teens in U.S. schools are often subjected to such intense bullying that they're unable to receive an adequate education. They're often embarrassed or ashamed of being targeted and may not report the abuse. 28% of gay students will drop out of school. 28%. This is more than three times the national average for heterosexual students. GLPT youth feel they have nowhere to turn. According to several surveys, 4 out of 5 gay and lesbian students say they don't know one supportive adult at school. What I'm calling on all of you to do is be that supportive adult. It doesn't mean you have to go out and ring bells and put up banners and everything else. But allow your own heart to open and heal and learn and grow. And like Mary's been with Jamie, the right kid will turn up when you're needed. And as a closing thing, and I hope Mary doesn't mind, I'm going to read the final paragraph of an article she wrote for the newsletter for this Gay and Lesbian Psychotherapy Association. And what Mary wrote here is, quote, Jamie was extremely excited to hear I was writing a story about her for the LAGPA newsletter. We talked about the population that reads this newsletter. I explained that her bravery and struggle to live authentically is a battle that everyone in LAGPA will identify with. Most gay and lesbian teens don't have the courage or the essential support variables to come out so young in life. She did, and this is what makes her journey to self-discovery so powerful. I told her that everyone who reads this article will learn something from her story. In essence, this is what life is all about, people's hearts connecting to one another, learning from one another. Jamie has touched my heart more than she will ever know. Jamie, if you're listening, I want to thank you. And Mary, thank you. And I'm going to ask all of you to tune in next week for Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler thanking you for listening.
The rainbow is up high. That I heard of once.